Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia.
Thank you.
And today we are on episode 15 of the second season of the Better Everyday Podcast. Fanfare. Woo! So this last week, since the last time you saw us, has been a pretty hectic one. Grace's brother got married, as we mentioned in the last episode. So he got married on Saturday. Family started coming in, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday? This house filled up with like four different families, one dog, seven kids. It was pretty hectic. So a lot of running around on Friday, a lot of running around Saturday. And all of Grace's family is out of town. So all they wanted to eat was Portos and In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. But it was a beautiful wedding.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. There was some special moments. Moments they got us all crying. They got us all laughing. We had a great time in the festivities. And then what I really liked was on Sunday after church, we decided to go visit your mom's grave. And so the whole family was there. And then your aunt, which is your mom's sister, asked us, you know, to all say something that we were grateful for since mm-hmm. the passing of your mother, which was a beautiful time. Some people shared. Obviously, we cried again. But it was really beautiful to have all the family here, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. I loved seeing, especially like the kids, all the cousins together and like laugh. And it was nice. It was nice having the full house.
What was your favorite part?
I think the wedding. It was so fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was our DJ from almost 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And he still remembered us. I was like, oh, hi. I didn't talk too much, but I could tell, like, he remembered us. And then you said he spoke to you, but he's so fun. And so everyone was dancing, like, just looking around and seeing, like, those that you love close to you, like, dancing. Like, no matter what age you had, all of the littles were dancing. And my aunts and uncles and cousins, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful. And we will probably be putting up some videos and some pictures here. The pictures most likely are from her sister. So shout out to Mercy for taking these awesome pictures.
Yeah.
She took awesome pictures of the wedding, awesome pictures of family members. And it was, again, such a beautiful time. It was great seeing everybody. I got to meet some of the kids that I hadn't met yet. And shout out to Amias. He just kept asking to go to the... They took him the first day to the basketball courts by the beach.
We'll say who Amias is.
Oh, you say who Amias is.
He's my cousin's son. Mm-hmm. So I know technically not like our nephew, but I tell David it's different because try to follow along here. My mom married her dad's brother. I'm getting confused. So it's like two sisters married two brothers mm-hmm. and then had us. And so we're like sister cousins.
Yeah.
Like sibling cousins. And so Mias is her firstborn.
Yeah. So he loves basketball. They took him to the basketball courts by the beach. And then every single day this kid was asking for, are we going to go to the basketball courts by the beach? And they took him to the basketball court that wasn't by the beach one time. And he was like, nah, I need to go back to the basketball courts.
Yeah. He loved it.
Yeah, so, and then your grandpa from Puerto Rico, which we just went to go visit in April, we got to see him again. He came to the wedding.
But it was nice because he hadn't met his great-grandkids. Well, some of them he did, but mine he didn't. So
yeah.
It was nice seeing that.
Yeah, so again, it was just a beautiful time. It was hectic, but, you know, we made through it. We got through it. It was, It was great. Any other updates since last week? think that's it.
Yeah.
But while the family was here, we were having some great conversations as well. Mm. And this topic that we're going to be talking about today kind of stemmed from that. And so today's topic, it's a question that many of us ask. And sometimes we ask it through relationships. Sometimes we ask it through business. Sometimes we ask it through health journeys. Sometimes we ask it through, what else? Breaking things off, setting boundaries. What else? We ask it through many different parts of our life. We ask this one question. And this one question is, am I ready? So that's what I want to talk about today. Am I ready? And maybe as you hear this question, you've probably thought, or you're probably maybe getting flashbacks of, oh yeah, there's been times in my life where I've asked the question, am I ready for this? Am I ready to take this on? Am I ready to take on marriage? Am I ready to take on a relationship? Am I ready to cut ties with somebody? Am I ready to start a business? Am I ready for writing a book? Am I ready for starting a podcast? Like, maybe you've asked this in many different parts of your life. But what I want to get down to is, I was thinking about this question. Again, this kind of stemmed from a conversation that we were having. And I thought about this question, I meditated on it, and I thought, this question could go one of two ways. It can be a wise way to maneuver whatever it is that is put in front of you. So, am I ready for this? Okay, maybe I need a checklist. You know, maybe I need a checklist of, let's say I want to start a business. Well, what do I need to start a business? And maybe that's going to tell me if I'm ready. Mm-hmm. You know, but then, so that's the wisdom part. But I also see it that there can be a case where that question can actually become a hindrance in your life, where it's really holding you back. It's really just something that you're using as an excuse to not do whatever it is that you're fearful of doing. So for example, the most, I think, common one would be, am I ready to be in a relationship? Am I ready to be engaged? Am I ready to be married? And the transition goes on to, am I ready to be a parent? And I'm going to openly say, I am not 100% sure that there is a right or wrong answer. And we can dissect this further right now. I think people can take a stance, mm-hmm. but I don't think that they can say it's an absolute, that it's a 100% certainty that it's one way or the other, right? So let's say, for example, marriage. This is something that I've heard you talk to many people about. And your stance is, and you can clarify after I say this, because I might be saying this wrong, but your stance, from what I've heard, you've always said, you're never ready. Just get into it. Would you agree? Or do you want to clarify?
I mean, now I look at people I know and I'm like, okay, they're not ready or they shouldn't get married. But for the most part, no. I think, because if someone wants to get married to someone, I'm not going to say, oh, awesome, don't do anything about it. Like, I usually recommend books. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you're going to feel like 100% ready, where it's like, I mean, maybe you will, I don't know. But I do think it's wise, if you're going to get married, to read books, go to premarital counseling, like get educated. But I don't think there's like this perfect formula of have this much amount in your bank account, be done with school, be a certain age. Like, that's where I'm like, eh.
Yeah, because for the most part, in general, most people say, if I'm in school, I want to finish school before I get married.
Yeah.
Some people also say, before I get married, I want to be able to buy a house. Mm-hmm. Other people say, before I get married, I need to be completely out of debt. Other people say, before I get married, I need to be out of debt and have like a $25,000 cushion. Like, there's many, like, things that people put as standards of what makes you ready. Let's say for this example, marriage.
Yeah.
You've also brought up, okay, have you done couples counseling? What else did you say?
Like reading books.
Okay, so reading books. Okay. So let's get into this debate. Let's say somebody's thinking about getting married. They're wondering, am I even ready? Like, maybe here's what usually the scenario is. And if you're a guy out there, you'll understand me. If you're a woman out there, you might get offended. But usually it is the woman pressuring the man. When are you going to give me the ring? When are you going to give me the ring? When are you going to give me the ring? And the man, with all the love in his heart, wants to give everything that his lady wants.
For the most part.
But he's also thinking like, am I ready for this? Like, let's be honest. There's some nerves that come in, maybe a little bit of fear. Like, I want to, but I'm scared that I'm going to fail. And this could be based on just looking at their parents. Because usually that's what happens is people look at their parents and like, no, if it's going to be like that, I don't want it, you know, or how do I avoid that? Or the fear of, I don't want to repeat that. So the man wants to usually give the woman what she wants, which is, I want to be married, you know? But the woman's like, no, like sometimes I feel like the women want, I don't know if it's the ring or just like the engagement in general. Sometimes I do feel like it's the ring. They just want a fat ring to show off to everybody. But I feel like there's like a, there's not much of like a, let's slow down and think about this before we get into this, you know, with women, they're just like, no, let's just do it. And with men, since we're more logical, we're like, well, okay. Like, yeah, yes, I want to, but hold on. Like, let me just see. And that's where, if I'm ready, if we're ready, you know? And so what would you say like to somebody like that? Would you give them like these outlines? And if they check these all off, they're ready or what?
No, well, age is a factor.
Okay.
If it's like 17-year-old.
No. Okay, so now we're getting into more nitty gritty, but let's say a 25-year-old.
Yeah, I'd say, do both of you want to get married? If they say yes, and then I'd ask them like what their family thinks, because that's usually a red flag. Because sometimes you're so in love, like you just see love. You don't see their flaws. And so I think it's important to be, okay, what does your family think or close friends? And then ask, like, have you done premarital counseling? And if they're like, yeah, then I'm like, awesome, go.
What if somebody asked you, did you do premarital counseling before you got married?
No, I would say, I honestly don't know why we did it. I think we didn't know where to go. But I would say, no, but we read like 7 books or so.
It was like 3.
I swear it was like 7.
You really like to inflate it, but okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, 7 books. Make it 14. We read 14 marriage books. Go ahead.
I swear it was like 5.
It was like love and respect, love languages, and what was the 3rd one?
I read like woman ones.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'll find it. Uh-huh. I have it right there in the hallway.
Okay, but let's just say you make them as checklists.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
that's it. What about maturity? What about habits? What about character?
Yeah, but you would hope that family sees that and premarital counsel also sees that. Like, if there's no red flags where the parents are like, no, we don't think, it's because they were like, oh no, they're mature enough. They love each other. They respect each other. Mm-hmm. We see that they're better for each other. And they're not like bringing out like the toxicity out of each other. Like if friends and parents see that, and if they went through premarital counseling, usually talk about like, what are guys' differing views about like finances? Or like, at least it's to see if you're on the same page and a lot of certain things.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, that's what matters.
Okay. And I think grace is something very important here. And it's, I'm going to chalk it up to your trust circle is very important to the decision that you're going to make.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of us are more towards like the side of we're just going to do it and then we'll see what happens, right? And those people, I feel like, tend to not seek the counsel of their trust circle. Mm-hmm. They just kind of tell them, like, hey, I'm going to do this. And sometimes the people in their trust circle might be like, hey, like, press the gas pedal just a little bit. Like, let's talk this through. Like, what's your plan? You know, let's see where your history lies. Like, do you have the characteristic to do this? Do you have the discipline to do this? Like,
yeah.
Let's look at it. Let's look at your resume, you know? But some people are just like, nah, let's just gas, like, pedal to the metal, let's go, right? But I think it is very wise for you to seek the counsel of the people around you. So whether that's your family, whether that's like in a case of like marriage, like a marriage counselor, whether that is your friends, like who you must have like a circle of trust. And so bringing your ideas up and them kind of giving you like, hey, like, I think you could work on this, or I think, or they might just be like, no, I think you're ready. Like, go, mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes we might need that push from that circle of trust. Maybe we're on the fence. We're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm really nervous. And somebody just tells you, listen, like, whatever it is that you want to do, I know that you could do it because I've seen you take on other things where you have also been nervous, but you did it and you thrived in it.
Yeah.
Because it brings to mind every single time that you have a speaking engagement. You're like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Ah, I don't know if I should do it. I'm just like, Grace, you're going to freaking kill it. Every single time you kill it. And some, it's just that feeling of like, I don't know if I should. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm capable. And you need that circle of trust to be like, just like kind of give you a kick in the butt and just like, go do it. You're going to kill it. You're going to be fine. And you know me, especially now we're talking about me and you, you know me, like as in like your circle of trust, like if you're not ready to do something, I'm going to tell you like what I think. And I'm be like, nah, I'm not going to like send you out there to the wolves and be like, go get eaten up. You know, like, no, I'll tell you like, hey, I think you might need a little more practice here, you know? So that is very important for whatever it is that you're going to do. And now I'm speaking to the audience, whatever it is that you're going to do, whether that is you are going to open up a business, you're going to make a certain investment, you're going to write a book, you're going to write a novel, you're going to write a movie, you're going to start a podcast, you're going to, whatever it is where you're feeling like, I don't know if I'm ready. One of the main suggestions is talk to your people and they'll let you know, hey, I do think you have what it takes. Mm-hmm. I think you do have the ingredients, you know, or in certain areas, like let's say marriage, it's like, I think you should take it easy a little bit, you know, yeah. Like, I personally am in the stance. I've usually conducted myself this way, which is, yes, I conduct a certain amount of research that gives me enough amount of comfortability where I'm like, all right, I've kind of seen the ins and outs of whatever it is I'm going to do. All right, let's jump in. Because I am more of the stance that life is going to teach you along the way. Mm. So whatever it is that you want to do, go for it. And whether you fail or you succeed, you'll get learning lessons along the way. Mm. What do you think?
I would have expected you to do the, like, be on the other spectrum of saying, like, no, I'm not prepared, or you're not prepared, or...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's an example. Us getting married, okay? You know that scenario that I told you guys about, you know, the woman kind of like, hey, where's my ring? Well, I'm talking from experience.
I don't know.
All right? This homegirl right here was like, Where's my ring? And the only way that I could make this woman stop was I had to lie to her. Yes, I did lie to her. And I said some huge financial, like, just curveball came my way. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to afford your ring anytime soon. And luckily, that was, without knowing, that was a real test of who she was. Because that could have gone one of two ways, which is, no, I don't care. Give me my ring. Like, figure it out. Or the way that she did it, she stopped and she was like, all right, I understand. I'm with you no matter what. I'll wait whenever the time is right. Little did she know that I had already bought the ring at that time. And I already had the plans rolling about, you know.
You guys, this is wild. This is like 7 months in.
Yes.
Dating. That's wild.
And so my thing was, when I asked your dad for your hand in marriage, mm-hmm. he told me, sure, you can marry her. You're the best candidate. There's nobody like you. No, he didn't say that. But he did say, sure, you can marry her. And he told me, you can marry her on one condition. You are not going to take her to Canada. You are going to come here. And I said, sure, no problem. Always had dreams of leaving Winnipeg anyways.
Wait, before that though, like, would you have taken me over there?
No, I always had an idea of coming over here. But anyways, so just the thought of like, we, like she said, we were 7 months in and she's like, give me my ring. I think the stars are aligned for maybe the both of us, because at that point I was already like 25 years old. So I'm like, I always thought I wanted to get married around that age. So I was already kind of getting locked in. I'm like, all right, like I'm not planning to wait like 3 or 4 years, wait until I'm 30 to get married. Like I'm good, you know? Now, if you were to ask me in that time, are you ready to get married? Nobody ever asked me that.
No one asked me that.
Nobody asked me that question. And had they asked me that question, that would have made me stop and think like, wait, hold on. Am I ready? But in that instance, that was my, like, kind of my example of saying like, no, like I'll figure out along the way, you know? And the thing is, the hurdles that we had to jump through to even get married, like, and that's what I mean. Like, we jumped in and then we're just like, we're going to figure it out along the way.
Yeah.
You know, through the process of getting the fiance visa, where the US sends me to Vancouver and I have to go through that whole process, barely having any money, then getting blessed, then coming back to Winnipeg, then gathering all my stuff, then going through the stuff that I was going through in my family, and then driving down to Cali and finally marrying you. And then the things that we went through at the beginning of our marriage is just like, if I would have sat there and thought, am I ready? Are we ready? Are there any red flags? Are there any character issues? Like, I would have said, are we ready? Up until like, we'd probably still be dating right now. If I would have asked that question. And that's why I say sometimes it can be a question of wisdom, but sometimes it can be a hindrance where you just continue to find reasons of why you're not ready.
Yeah.
And you never do it.
And I think you can always find a reason to not do it, or like there will always be something where you are not prepared or you're not smart enough, or like, I think we can always find those.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask a question. Did you ever think like, am I ready or not? I think you also had just the thought of like, I want to get married young, so I'm just going to go into this.
Yeah, no, there was definitely red flags like with you.
I don't know if there was a need to say that, but okay.
Like, no, I'm saying like, I like would think about like, oh my goodness, like, is this going to pop up in our marriage?
Yeah.
Like, it would have me pause for a moment and be like, okay, this is probably not the healthiest way to argue, for example, because we'd both argue. I'm not saying like you just had the red flags, but like interacting with you, they come up. But I think I just like took them down.
So, never really thought like, am I ready? You were just like, hey, I'm going full steam. Like, I don't care if I see these red flags that we're not really taking care of. I'm just going to go in this and we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. I think no one was going to tell me anything. And I remember like we would read the books and we were just dating, or even like engaged, I think. I think mm-hmm. we read it even up to our engagement, right? And there were things where I was like, oh my goodness. Like, again, reading it, I would like see red flags, the things like they said we shouldn't do and we were already doing, or like bad habits we already accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I hope he reads this book and like reads this part of it and thinks this is for him. But I never thought of like, what if he doesn't? Like, what if? I just always thought like, things were gonna go good.
Yeah.
Just super naive.
And we did have that conversation with your family this weekend, which was how you were kind of like pre-marriage and early marriage as well, where you were just, you were that person that kind of had like, almost had like that blind faith. We're just like, it's always going to work out no matter what. And so that kind of couples together with what you're saying right now is like, I'm just going to go full steam ahead. It's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's going to work out.
Yeah. I feel like I was always optimistic.
Okay. So now the question is, if you were to have asked yourself, am I ready or are we ready? Would that have changed how things went?
I don't know, because I feel like I was blinded in love. I think it would make me think and ponder and be like, oh, but then I think I'd still do it.
Mm. Okay. Now the follow-up question, looking back on it now, because somebody might be like, okay, you two both sound like you were just, forget about the red flags, forget about, you know, like taking time to slow down and be wise and take care of all these things that you're seeing. Mm. No, you guys just both went. So somebody might listen to this and think, oh, they were reckless. Okay. That's the context. Now the question is, asking you right now, if you were to have asked that question, am I ready before, and actually pondered it and actually took like time to like go through all the stuff that you were seeing, if you were to have delayed based on what you were seeing, thinking I am not ready or we are not ready, do you think that we would have saved some of the heartache that we had at the beginning of our marriage?
I don't think we would have gotten married, to be honest. I think we were very toxic.
Mm.
That if like we put it all on the table, and like maybe like if a therapist walked us through and they'd be like, you guys are already hurting each other before entering this, like give yourself some space. I think we would have thought like, yeah, this is bad, and we'd walk away.
Okay. Now that you said that out in the open, what would be the advice that you would give to somebody based on your testimony and your story where they're asking you like, am I ready? And your stance usually has been just go for it. You'll figure it out. Like you're never fully ready. Just go.
Yeah.
And now that you've said like, okay, if I would have gone back and I would have thought about it, we probably wouldn't have been married. And if we wouldn't have been married, we wouldn't have had that heartache, but we also wouldn't have been happy where we are right now and with two beautiful kids and a beautiful family.
Yeah. I think it's tough because, right, that verse in Romans that we're like, God, for those who obey him, God turns everything out for his good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some things where God is like, you didn't have to go through that. Like, you didn't have to go through that heartache. Mm. Like, you just, in your ignorance, in your immaturity, in your maybe even rebelliousness, like, you didn't have to go through that. But, okay, you did, and he loves his children, and he's so faithful that he's like, I'm going to redeem this. And so I think if I see a toxic relationship, if I see, like, two young adults, two kids, kind of doing the same thing with us, I'd be like, no, like, I'd say, this is what you're doing wrong. This is your bad habits or whatever. Like, but again, there were so many things that like, we didn't see a therapist. So we were kind of like hiding our text messages, like the way we talked to each other, like it was just all toxic. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd be like, no, like especially if I see my daughter in that or whatever, like I'd be like, no, don't marry them. Don't do this. But again, I think if let's say she would go through with it, they don't listen. It takes both people like to fight for it. And that's, it not always will lead to happy ending. Because in this case, like we both fought for a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But what if like you didn't or I didn't? Like what if one of us gave up? Like it didn't have to, we would not have come on this other side. And that other side is not always guaranteed. Because God can want to redeem it But again, if there's, we talked about this before, if there's no action with that faith, then it's dead. Like, we're so blessed that both of us were like, no, this is what we want. And we're so stubborn that it helped us in that sense that we're like, no, like, we got married and it's not going to fail. And we like did everything it took to not fail. But if there's people that aren't as stubborn, then I don't know if it would work out.
And I think that's a great point. And to more condense it, I would say, you know, you are ready for whatever it is that you're going to go into. Again, it could be your dreams. It could be a marriage. It could be a relationship. It could be podcasts. It could be a business idea, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you are ready. Part of the way that you know that you're ready is if you have the mentality of no matter what, I will fight for it. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what you said. There are some things that you are asking yourself, am I ready? And it's just you and whatever it is that your plan is, right? Yeah. And that's a little bit easier. I'm going to say it is a little bit easier because it's just you. You don't have to worry about another person. Mm-hmm. It's just you. Whatever it is that you're planning to do, you have to ask just yourself, am I willing to fight for what I want to do? Mm. Because almost always, whenever it is that you step into that thing that you want to do, you are going to hit rough patches.
Yeah.
Even if you have a mentor, you will hit rough patches. Will they be a little less rough with a mentor? Of course. Will they be a little less rough if you read books? Of course. But no matter what, when you step into whatever it is that you want to do, you will hit rough spots. And those are the times where that mentality clicks in of no matter what, I'm going to fight. No matter what, I'm going to fight. Now, when we're talking about a relationship, it's two people.
Yeah.
Now, I might be willing to fight. Now, the question is the other person willing to fight? Mm-hmm. Because if two people are willing to fight, then keep going. But where things fall apart is when only one's willing to fight.
And there's no way to test that until you're in that situation. Because mm-hmm. it's like saying, oh, yeah, I could do a marathon. I could do this hike. I could do it. But it's easy to say that when you're not in it, and versus you're in it and you're exhausted and you want to give up, and many people do. Mm-hmm. And so there's no way to know until you're in that situation. And so many people, unfortunately, have the hard way to figure out where they like give up. And so they get, there's so many divorces now.
Yes. And, It's something that we really need to focus on in regards to, like, are we willing to fight for it? And I would also say, like, okay, even if, let's say, you would have went back and you would have thought about it, or maybe you got even a glimpse of what the future looked like and you're like, no, we're not ready yet. Even if we would have, let's say, worked the things out that we worked out years later, years before, hopefully that makes sense to people, and then we got married, we would have still found something else.
Oh, yeah.
To like have as our big challenge.
Yeah.
And so then I think, okay, no matter what, and this I do stand by with almost complete certainty, no matter what, no matter as much as you want to maneuver away from hard times will find you. Mm-hmm. And that's just a way of life.
Yeah.
You start a business. You were all prepared. You had the deposit. You had the money. You had the place. You had everything lined up. You had a business plan. You had 6 months of emergency fund. You're still going to find hard times. Mm. And that's where the character starts coming in of, am I going to fight no matter what for what I want to do? And that's going to test your character. We talk about character all the time on this podcast.
Yeah.
And it's always going to test your character. It's going to test when things get rough, are you going to have faith? When things get rough, are you going to trust in God? When things get rough, are you going to continue to fight? When you feel like you have no more strength left, are you going to continue moving forward? Mm-hmm. And I think, and that's why my stance is more towards like, go for it. I think there is wisdom in what is it that I should do to best prepare myself for what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
Because going in with ignorance is not a, is should never be a choice.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you're going to do, marriage, there's counseling, there's books, there's finding couples that have been married for 20, 30 years, seeking the wisdom, opening up a business, go to business school. There's a bunch of business classes on YouTube or online. Read books as well. Get your own personal finance going and like in a disciplined way. And that'll, you know, pour over onto your business as well. You want to start a podcast. Like when we started the podcast, that's like another example. Like, did you ask yourself, am I ready for this?
No.
I didn't ask myself either. I was just like, I really want to do this. I'm going to buy the stuff and we're just going to do this.
Yeah.
The way that I could maybe think about like that, I kind of in different words thought like, am I ready? Was I kind of just thought about like all the great conversations that we've had, both just ourselves and other people. And I'm like, No. We got the juice. We could do this.
Like, but yeah, I feel like you also researched snow, but like what equipment to use, how to.
Oh, yeah. That's equipment stuff. Like, I mean, the content is what really. I mean, this hardware doesn't carry the podcast. Yeah. It's the what we talk about. But that's another one where we're just like, are we willing to fight for it? Like, we've had like this list of like, okay, we got to think of. I remember like, what was it? Like 10 episodes in, I think you asked me like, I think we're going to run out of ideas soon. And I'm like, no, we're fine. And we just kept putting down ideas or whatever. Like, are you willing to fight for it? And with that, we actually did discuss, we brought it up to our friends. We're like, hey, we're thinking about doing that. And they all went like, yeah, you should totally do it.
Yeah.
Like the two things that we're giving advice on, like we've done, you know, but yeah, like you said, seek the wisdom and are you willing to fight for it? Is there anything else that you would feel like would be a good point also?
I think it goes hand in hand with seeking the wisdom because I'm the person that, like even going back to school with my son, it's like, I don't think you asked me or I don't think I asked myself, like, am I ready for this? Am I prepared? I'm always just like, let's do it. Even with a job applying, I'm like, am I qualified? I'm like, I don't know. Let's just do it. I'm like, I just say yes, yes. I get excited at the thought of moving up or doing adventures. Like I've just been the, let's do it.
Like, yeah.
What is there to lose? And I think maybe one of the things that has helped me in life, obviously God, like I cannot be where I'm at today if it wasn't for God. Because so many times I've been unprepared and like how I just said, just with our marriage and the fact that we're here is all the glorious to him. But then I think just willingness to learn and be humble, like humble, humility. Because even if you go to a job and I'm like, I'm going to put this on the resume that I can do this and this and this. And like going to the job, I will never be like, I mean, on the resume, I might say I might know how to do that. But then when it's time for training, I'm like, I'm willing to learn. Like everything I said I could do, like show me or like I'm willing to learn, observe, ask questions. Same thing in like school. Like, I'm going to learn, like sit at the table with the professors, try to hear everything they have to say, like pay attention. Same thing in marriage. Like let's talk to a therapist. Let's look at books. Like I felt like if you have a willing heart and just this thing, this humility, like I can learn so much, like you will be prepared if you face every challenge that way. Like there's something that I can learn from this. There's something that I can learn from this. And so.
Yeah. I 100% agree. So my next thing is differentiating the difference between the phrase, am I ready? Differentiating between wisdom and hindrance, which really, if we want to rename it, it's wisdom and fear, right? Sometimes we ask the question, am I ready? And some of us are thinking, okay, have I crossed my T's and dotted my I's? because I want to be as well prepared as possible, right? And so, like you said, have I read the books? Have I talked to people? Have I sought counsel? Have I done everything possible to prepare myself as much as possible? Because I think it's kind of like school. You go to school and you get all the theory. Practice comes later. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, like when you're in trade school or whatever, they make you go do the practice. You're like, all right, we're going to be in the class for like 3 months, and then we're going to send you out for 3 months. And then you're going to come back for 3 months in school. Then we'll send you out for 3 months. And it goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's similar to that in anything that you do. There's a time of learning, seeking the wisdom, seeking the knowledge. Knowledge is power. Get it all, soak it up, and then go try it. Mm. Right? There's certain things that you can't go back though. So my analogy of, you know, back and forth, like it's not like you seek the wisdom, yeah. Go into marriage. Oh, divorce. Let me go back and seek the wisdom, get married again. Like, no, it doesn't work that way for that. And other stuff as well, like, you know, get in a business, you know, but seeking the wisdom is very important. But there comes a time where you're just like, all right, it's time for me to get into the practice. Mm. It's time for me to jump into the pool. Let's see if I've learned how to swim in theory, right? But on the other side, I feel like a lot of people use the phrase or the question, am I ready, as a mask of wisdom. But when you take off that mask, what you really see is fear. So they use the am I ready as an excuse to find reasons why they're not ready. And what it really is I'm scared to jump into this pool. I'm scared that all my learning is not enough. And when I jump into this full pool, I'm going to sink. I'm scared that if I jump into this pool, I'm going to look dumb and I'm going to get rejected.
Yeah.
Like there's this fear that like stops you. And that's why you hear people like, okay, now let's get into the other part, ministry. Oh, you should get into this. Oh no, I don't think I'm ready for that. Just like, oh, like sometimes like, okay, sometimes people get a word and they're like, okay, this is where you're going to be. All right. Cool. And then people go like kind of holding them accountable. Like, hey, like, are you going to do, I'm not ready yet. And the I am not ready yet years down the road. And granted, we did talk about, you know, like the example of David, like 30 years down the road. But homeboy wasn't just sitting there. And this goes back to the last episode that we talked about. Homeboy wasn't just sitting there and just doing nothing. Right? And so the I'm not ready sometimes is an excuse to be in your comfort zone as well.
Yeah.
And so, before I keep going on, like, how do you view that?
I'm trying to see if there was a situation before where I've personally said, like, I'm not ready. And I don't want to sound prideful, but I can't think of anything. Can you think of something? Like a situation. Mm-hmm. Either you or me, where we were like, no, we're not ready.
The only thing that I can think of is I remember our friend Nate, he's a worship pastor at RTLA. Well, he didn't really ask me. His wife kind of asked me like, hey, you should play the piano. He needs somebody to help him with the piano. And I was like,
oh, with you. Yeah. You say that a lot.
And I'm like, nah, like I literally said like, nah, I'm not ready for that. Like I can't. And so in that instance, it's like the debate. And it does become a debate, like whether I'm ready or not. Because some of you guys say like, no, just go do it. Like you can do it. You're fine. And I think you guys are like in, like with good intentions, trying to knock down my feeling of being inadequate. Right. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm realistic enough to know when I'm ready and when I'm not ready.
But like, I can think of one scenario in my personal life where I shouldn't even have been there. Or two, I guess two, now that I think about it.
Okay.
Like, And they're both job positions, both in sales. Mm-hmm. I'm not good. You say no to me once, I'm like, okay, I'm passive.
See you later.
I hate pressure, putting people on the spot. Like, and one of those situations that I got fired because I didn't make it one single sale. It was a safety bathtub thing.
Okay.
And so like the elderly community, a safety bathtub, and I didn't sell not one thing. And so they were like, girl, bye, you're wasting your time. And that was just like, okay, I'm like, this wasn't for me. And then the other one, I was a assistant manager at Aldo, because I lied on my resume saying I've been a manager before. And I had no idea what I'm doing. And I just hated the pressure of it. Like, I had to make a certain quota. And I after like 3 months or something, maybe even less, I was like, I need to get another job, like an office job. This isn't for me. But in my head, and I don't know what you think of this, like maybe this isn't wise, but in my head, I'm like, the worst thing that can happen, let's go back to your piano example, is you do it, you feel inadequate, and that's it. Like, you realize, okay, yeah, I wasn't ready. Or you are, and you surprise yourself, and you realize, like, wow, God has brought me, like, this far. Like, I just feel like I'm like, why not just try it? Because I think if you're automatically operating in fear, like, fear isn't from God. And so it's like, either you don't want to do it, which is fine. But to say, like, oh, no, I'm not ready. Like, they asked you for a reason. So just do it. And the worst thing you could do is like, oh, it wasn't for me, or I was right, or whatever. Like, I'm just like, what's the big deal? And I know you always say, like, Grace, usually tell me, you don't tell me I'm not ready when opportunities arise. You just make it seem like, look at your plate. Can you handle it? Which is kind of like, maybe you're not prepared right now to take this on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the worst is like, you're overly stressed and you didn't need to be. But again, my motto is like, everything will happen. Like, everything turns out good. But I could be naive.
I think, and that's why it becomes a debate. And that's why I said at the beginning, there is no absolute in this. Because in that instance of the piano, I was like, I've heard these musicians play. I've heard the notes that they play.
But they've heard it too.
Hold on. I'm like, I've never played these notes. I've never played these transitions and these progressions or whatever. And sure, I could learn. And that's where then you get into the in-between of, am I really ready? Like you said, let's say for marriage, have you read the books?
Yeah.
Did you do the theory? Did you seek the counsel? So in that instance, if we were to do the same kind of like reflection or same kind of questionnaire, have I been practicing piano? No. Have I, you know, even looked into the theory of playing the piano in a church setting? No. Have I looked into like more gospel progressions and, you know, whatever? No. Like, all, if you were to conduct like an audit on me, I think anybody would be like, no, he has no business being here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of conducted that audit myself, and I'm like, no, I don't belong there. And yes, you can completely go like, oh, just, you know, faith. And this is where, okay, I'm going to talk to some church people right now.
Yeah.
This is when you get those people, because I've been there. I have been there. And these situations suck. That's when you get into those people when they have no business singing on a group, but they're like, I felt chosen by God to be on this group. And they sing, and they sing horribly, but you're in a small church, so there is no such thing as tryouts or anything, and you got to let this person sing. And then you tell the sound person, hey, when this person sings, put the volume all the way down. But that's what I mean. Like, that person had no business being there. They were not ready. They should have been there. And so in that same instance, in my situation, I was the girl or guy that had no business singing. And so, like, why am I going to be that person?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, it is, I guess, especially in the season that you're in. I think it truly depends. Because if you are, like, let's say you have a family and people are relying on you for income and you're just, like, wasting time, you know, you're not prepared, like, trying these jobs where you're, like, failing left and right. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, you're not being wise. Like, what are you doing? You're wasting time. But if you're, let's say you don't have kids or you're younger, like, whatever, it's like, don't let fear stop you. Like, go out. Like, the worst thing you could do, how they say, is, like, fail or, like, find out all the many ways to not, like, do it how mm-hmm. The light bulb guy said. But, yeah, I do think there has to be some wisdom in there. And it goes back to, again, asking people. Like, I'm sure if I asked the people around me, like, am I a good salesperson? They'd be like, no. Like, I have no business being there.
Yeah.
And it's so important because sometimes we could be just so set on a goal or a thought or even about, like, your fears of saying, like, I don't think I'm ready. Like, what do you guys think? Or laying it all down. I don't think you told your friends. I don't know if you said the names, but, like, I don't know this. I haven't practiced in this many years. I don't know this about piano. And then them saying, oh, okay, maybe you're right. Or...
Well, it's I kind of want to move on from that specific scenario, but I will say it is important for you to have honest people around you, mm-hmm. people that won't just gas you up for gassing you up, you know, like, or people, you know, they won't put you somewhere that you shouldn't be. Like, it's very important for somebody to be honest. And I kind of pride myself for being that person, right?
Yeah.
And especially with you, where you're like, should I be doing this? And I straight up just, like, there's no, like, beating around the bush. I go, like, no, you have no business. Sometimes you, like, you tend to, like, fight back. And like, no, but blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, Grace. No. So it is very important for you to have people that will be completely 100% honest with you. Now, I want to go to my next point, and maybe this will be my last point, but I want to tie in character because I believe, let's say, for example, myself, I have the character that whatever I set my mind to, I'm going to do to the best of my abilities. Mm. And I think you can vouch for that, right? Whatever I set my heart to, I'm just like researching and all this stuff, right? So in that specific example about the keyboard, if I really wanted to, I probably would have been like, give me 6 months, then ask me, because I'm going to take this 6 months and I'm going to just plug away and mm-hmm. I'm going to buy myself a keyboard. I'm just going to go hard at it, right? So clearly, if somebody were to like see my actions are saying like, nah, I don't really want to do it, right? But tying in the characteristic, and now also tying in a calling God has given you. Okay? Because some of us are being called to do certain things, whether that's in the actual church or that's ministry outside the church mm-hmm. or the certain organization or being, you know, of help, you know, but God's calling you to be of help in some sort of way, right? Sometimes what God calls us to do seems so big to us. Mm. Maybe our dreams are minuscule compared to what God is calling us to, right? And usually when God presents this big dream to you or this big purpose to you, some of us get like taken back, like me? Like me? That's usually the case mm-hmm. because it's crazy how God works, that God usually picks the people that A, don't feel qualified themselves, and other people kind of look down upon them. It's crazy the way that, and I feel like God always does that because he's like, I'm going to pick somebody who can never take the glory from me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick like the most lowest people or the people that are ridiculed, the people that think no, like nobody, they can never do anything, right? I'm going to pick them and I'm going to get them to do great things because then everyone will know that I'm a great God, right? So sometimes we see ourselves in this little mold and it's a tiny one compared to what God has. And God goes, nope, here's what I have for you. And we all go like, and then we beg, the question comes out, am I even ready for this? Mm. Right? And I think, again, the character plays a big part. Because I think, you know, when God presents you something big, God presents somebody something big to somebody, usually they're taken back by it, right? I think there's some that, you know, maybe, you know, they're kind of waiting and hoping for like a title, so they'll be like, oh yeah, I'll do it. Like, but I think there's some people that, like, I don't want to say just with humble hearts, but like, you know, when you got that humility, you're like, you know, all the errors I've made, you know, all the mistakes I've made, you know, like how much I've messed up, you know, like that people don't really like me, like that I come off as a jerk, or like I don't have really good people skills, I don't have good talking skills, so on and so forth. Like me, and God goes, yeah, you. And so the character comes in and it's like, okay, you have a moment of reflection of like, okay, if I take this on, am I going to seek the counsel, seek the wisdom, seek the knowledge? Am I willing to fight for it no matter what? But I think the most important when it comes to God is the obedience. Mm-hmm. And I did a research before we did this podcast. And I asked Grace's best friend, ChatGPT. I put, give me some biblical examples of people on both sides of the fence. People who kind of doubted, that had the fear, but they did it anyways. And on the other side, where God called them to do something and they took the time to be wise and, you know, prepare for it, right? Yeah. I mean, you could see Jesus as that. 30 years. He didn't start his ministry until 30 years. What was he doing for those 30 years? Some could say that he was preparing. Other people could be like, why wouldn't you just be in ministry your whole life? Why just the 3 years?
Yeah.
And so you have people on both sides of the fence. So that's why I said there is no absolute of like, hey, this is the right answer or this is the wrong answer. But I truly believe that it really comes down to obedience. God's going to call you to do something. Most of the time, it's going to be bigger than you ever thought. And sometimes he will give you instructions of how to do it. Sometimes he won't. And I think in the time that he doesn't, I think it's a mix of preparation, the wisdom, the knowledge, the counsel, and then of patience. And then kind of waiting on his word of just like, all right, now go. Because like, okay, I'll go back to like Moses. Like he talked to Moses and he gave him the instructions. Like, here's what you got to do and go do it now, not later. Don't wait. There is no preparation. I'm not going to prepare you to be a good speaker because the Moses first thing is like, I stutter and I'm not good at speaking or whatever. Like God was like, go. There's going to be times where it's just like, go. Ready or not, go. Like imagine Moses was like, I'm not ready. Which is basically what he said to God. So there are going to be instances like that. And that's why, like, when I look at our marriage, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, we could have maybe avoided that, or maybe we wouldn't have got married. But I'm like, then we wouldn't be who we are today.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and just reflect on, like, would I have been a better or worse person if I didn't have Grace? Like, no, I'm grateful for the life that I have, and I'm going to believe that it's God-given. And so there's times where God's, go. Ready or not? No. You don't have time to seek for wisdom or the knowledge. Like, I'm going to give you Aaron. He's going to help you out and just go. You have Gideon as well. I'm the least of them. My army is like weak. Like, what do you want us to do? No, go. And so I think obedience is the best thing that you can have. And to have obedience, you must have a humble heart, like you said. You must be in surrender and you must be in relationship with God.
Yeah.
In the times where people usually mess up is when they don't have a relationship with God and they just do things. And that's when you have those instances where like, oh, life's going to teach you the hard way, or God's going to teach you the hard way. Because like you said, those situations that you went through that were hard, you didn't have to go through that. I didn't give you the instruction to go do that, but you did it anyways. And now you're going to learn from it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn what not to do for when I tell you it's time to go, you know? And it's like you said, like everything works for our good. Right. And in the instances, I truly believe in the instances where we even take it upon ourselves that we're going to do something, God's going to be like, all right, you want to suffer? Go ahead and suffer. You're going to learn. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to go to waste. You're going to learn from this. You're going to get wiser from this. But that you had to go do it this way? Like, no, you didn't.
That's good. And I do think I've set a relationship with them, because you need the Holy Spirit for discernment. Because not every situation is going to be the same. Not every thing is going to be like, okay, go, you're ready, you're stop, you're not. And realizing, okay, is this, why am I feeling this fear? And going to the root of it. And so if you're not in relationship, you're kind of just like hoping for the best, mm-hmm. which isn't a good way to live. And even surrounding yourself with people who are also in relationship with him. I think that's why his community is so important. Because then, as you were talking about Moses, I was thinking of Esther, where there was this horrible situation where the king is decreed, oh yeah, let's kill the Jews. And she didn't know what to do. And so she asks Mordecai, her family member, and he's like, why don't you do this? And she trusted him. Mm-hmm. And was like, okay, can you have our community like pray for me and fast for me while I go do this? Imagine she didn't have him. She would have no idea what to do, or like have that community surrounding her. And so I think it's so important that we're in relationship with us. But then I think that's like my point is like the people you're around with are super important. Cause it can help you in so many ways, or mm-hmm. even model what that looks like in their life. So you can kind of see, okay, what you can use that as a guide for your life. Not a perfect one, but it's so important to be able to discern.
Yeah. And so to wrap it up, I want to just invite you guys that if you guys have moments in your life right now or areas in your life right now where you're asking that question, am I ready? First, I want you to reflect, is this out of wisdom that I'm asking this question, or is it out of fear? Are you just pushing something back that you should already be doing right now? Mm. Or are you actually preparing yourself to, you know, for success, for whatever it is that you're going to do? We would encourage you guys, you know, seek the wisdom, whatever it is that you're looking to do, seek the wisdom, books, YouTube, counseling, people, seek the wisdom. But the wisdom is not going to completely save you, because you're going to get the wisdom, you're going to get the knowledge, and then you're going to go into practice and you're going to realize, oh, like reading it from a book, hearing it in a YouTube, hearing it from a preacher or whatever is one thing, but like actually going through my own like steps, yeah. It's a completely different thing. And that's why I always say like there's a difference between you being in the box, which is like you being in the hard situation, and you being outside the box. It looks so easy being outside the box and looking at somebody and be like, oh, I would have do this, I would have do that, I would have done that. And then you go into a box and you're like, oh no, hey, you know what? Like that advice I try to give to myself is not working.
Yeah.
And this is so much different. But I would encourage you guys, some of you guys just need to take that leap of faith. You've done all the work. It's time to just go. And those are the people that fear is holding you back. And so I want to encourage you guys, be courageous, be brave, trust in God. Trust that God has prepared you and that he's going to open the way. And if you've done it correctly, you have people around you that love you and will support you throughout the whole process. Is it going to be easy? No. Me and my wife struggled for the first, like, what, 1 to 3 years? And then we took a pause and we struggled again, like hard struggles. Yeah. And I took a pause. Yeah, it was like a small pause. Yeah. And then it was hard struggles. It was very hard struggles that I'm thinking like a good amount of people probably would have given up.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important, like, before you jump in, make sure I'm willing to fight no matter what. Because that it's going to be hard at some point is going to be hard. And so having that community around you, having that mentality and the characteristics of basically being a champion, and I'm going to keep moving forward no matter what, even when it's hard, even when I don't feel like it, it's so important. I would also say there is a great saying that goes, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. You don't want to be that 85, 90-year-old on your deathbed thinking, I wish I would have taken those shots. Because now I will truly never know. And sometimes I even picture, like, I don't think this happens, but if it did happen, like, it'd be pretty crazy. Of, like, you get into the gates of heaven and, like, an angel there, like, on a big screen TV, like, okay, before you go in here, like, I just want to play for you what your life would have been had you been obedient, had you been courageous, had you been brave, had you had the characteristics of fighting for everything. And just being like, oh, dang. But I mean, I guess there's no point of it at that point. That's why I don't think like there's that actually happens. But like, if that were to happen, and just you realizing like, I didn't take the shots, and I thought it was out of wisdom, but really it was out of fear, and because of fear, I was held back from everything that God had for me. And trust me, you don't want to be that person that at the end of the day realizes like fear stopped me from realizing the glory that God had for me, realizing the purpose and the potential that God had for me. Like, you don't want to be that person. So we want to encourage you, take your shots, be wise, seek the counsel, be ready to fight for it, but don't let fear hold you back. I would even say to some of you, you are ready. With that being said, we will see you guys on the next episode. We love you so much. Please like, subscribe, and share if you really like this episode. See ya.